Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Flying Deer Nature Center is a wilderness school in New Lebanon, New York, that has been connecting children and adults to nature and community since 1996. They offer school programs, programming for homeschool children, adult programs, and animal tracking, bird language, women's retreats, as well as much, much more. Here now to tell us about that much more part from Flying Deer Nature Center are Executive Director Michelle Applin and Programs Director Devlin Franklin. Thank you very much for being with us. Very nice to have you both here.
It's great to be here. Thanks, Joe.
Joe, thanks for having us.
I appreciate you being here. So, Michelle, let us begin with you of how, what does this particular season mean for you? Because you're not really done with school kids yet, even though they're back in school.
No, we are just beginning. Our homeschool programs begin later this month. We have an open house on September 17th. And then we have homeschool programs in New Lebanon and also one at Bartholomew's Cobble in Sheffield, Massachusetts, that are going to be beginning later in September. We begin working with public schools and private schools this month. And our boys, our adolescent boys and girls rites of passage programs also begin in the fall. So we have a lot going on.
So you work year-round?
We do, yes.
Excellent. So there's always things to talk about, and just because it's winter, that doesn't stop you.
Definitely not.
Okay.
No, we're out there in all weather.
What is the rites of passage program?
Rites of passage programs are really about supporting adolescents through the really challenging years of being young teenagers, the times of so much change, so many different challenges socially, academically, with family, as children are becoming young adults, as they're gaining independence, as they're learning more about who they are and really discovering who that is, searching about who that is. We have programs that support them through that transition, help them find tools inside themselves and outside of themselves in order to make good choices, in order to listen to themselves when there are so many different voices coming at them from society and culture. And we help create community of peers, a supportive and inspiring community of men or women, their single gender programs. And we do all that in the context of nature, which is really nurturing and supportive to everyone.
I mentioned that you've been around since 1996. So how have these programs evolved over that time?
Flying Deer Nature Center began in a backyard, and it was started by Lenny and Deborah Brown. Lenny was is a public school health teacher, and he started the program to discover just how much kids love being outside and playing in the forest and learning about nature through play. And it has grown from a summer camp in those early years to include, as Michelle mentioned, rites of passage programs for adolescents, programs for homeschooled children, school programs, after-school programs, programs for adults, and it has grown a lot. We are located on 400 beautiful acres just behind Darrow School. We're in Northeast Columbia County.
Right.
And we're located on a property owned by a Sufi center. And the 400 acres of beautiful forest, fields, streams, and pond is our classroom. We spend all of our time out there and help people of all ages discover how awesome nature is.
When you mentioned the homeschool programs, and I guess this is something that has only grown over time, right? That it's an opportunity. Well, I obviously serves two purposes. One is to all of the nature and the baseline of your mission, but also in bringing those kids together and a social component that may often be missing from their environment.
Yes, the community building part of all of our programs is really important. In the context of nature, relationships are different. When we step away from electronics and we step away from our everyday lives and step outside, there's a chance for friendships to grow in a deeper way than they have the opportunity to in the context of our everyday lives. So there's always the context of nature, and there's always this amazing component of community building and relationship building that happens in all of our programs.
So what happens when you connect, and let's just keep it with the children. So what happens when you connect the kids to nature?
Well, one of the things that we do is called a sit spot. And in a sit spot, a child gets to have a piece of the forest or whatever area we're in to their very own. And they know they can explore it themselves. They can sit, they can look, they can listen. And it's time to be in nature by themselves. Which creates a lot of confidence in them. And one great story we have is we had the kids doing sit spots all strung out through the forest, and a red-tailed hawk flew about 4 feet over the ground and flew through every single one of their spots, right in front of their faces. And, of course, in the last kid's spot, grabbed a chipmunk and flew off.
Oh.
And the kids were...
Circle of life.
As soon as they came back, they were totally full of excitement and thrills and stories. And they really valued being able to sit still because it allows them to see more. And we do games, too, to help them learn how to notice more and stay more still. Like a game in which the kids become a fawn. And we, the counselors, become black bears. And we have to go to each child. And, of course, black bears, if they can catch a fawn, they will eat it.
Will.
And the kids have to stay still, just like a fawn does. And as long as they stay still, the black bear won't eat them. But if they move or get fidgety or start giggling, then we pounce on them, and they love it. They have a great time.
It is nature, and that is all. Obviously, the story that you just told is a beautiful story, and sure, it's chance, isn't it? But if you're out there and you're open to it, I assume something will happen.
Yep, it's no coincidence that when the children continue coming back to our programs and learning the skills and abilities that we share with them, they began having experiences in nature that really that changed them. And I've got a quick story about a group of high schoolers that we work with in a local public school. When we first met them, they had, you know, all their piercings and black shirt and their arms crossed and their brows low, and had some attitude for sure. And after a year of working with them, they had their piercings and their black shirt, but they were open, they were excited. They would see a wildflower and say, "Hey, Devin and Michelle, come look at this one. What's this one called?" And they treated each other with a great amount of respect and actually turned their peers from enemies into friends.
So how did they get from their environment to you, in the sense of how that happens? Is that done through the school? Is that done through some other consultation? How does that ultimately happen?
Well, in some cases, we go to the schools. We go to many different public schools. Sometimes they come to us. We also go to private schools, homeschool programs. They come to us. So we offer programs in different areas. Is that what you were asking?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. And I
here's another way of another way, and then we can get on that. But here's my other way of asking it. So the pierced kids, how do they find you? Because they're obviously not raising their hand saying, "I want to go," or their arms wouldn't be crossed. So who is telling them to go, and how are they winding up under your tutelage?
That particular program was through a high school that was working to give a little extra support to kids that may have ended up being high school dropouts that were having some academic, yes, they're at risk in some way. And so they did actually choose to be part of the program, but there was a little bit of there might have been a little bit of push from some of their teachers. Yeah. And I think even when they choose to be part of the program, there's still a period of trust building that they're going to be going through with us. The environment that they're in every day school is very different than what we're providing for them. So that period of trust building is really important.
So were you going to say something else about what?
Oh, I was going to talk a little bit more about how when people get connected with nature, when the children begin to recognize different plants and trees that they've gathered something from because they've made some wild edible foods or they've made some crafts, and then they go out in the world and they see that in other places, it helps them feel at home on the earth because they recognize that. They recognize, oh, that's a maple tree. I know that one. And that's a goldenrod plant, and I know that, and I know I can use that to make dye. And this is part of the process of helping children feel at home on the earth and connected to this planet. So,
your adult programs, how did they? They came later.
Yes, they did come later, but they've been around for about 10 years or so.
Okay.
Yes.
And because when you look at the animal tracking and bird language and women's retreats and there's a lot of different things, and I assume they're for a short period of time, maybe not.
Yes, depending. Sometimes the women's retreats are once a season for a year, and sometimes they're just one-time events. So mm-hmm. they may last a week or they may just be a weekend.
Is that completely different working with adults as opposed to children? I mean,
it is very different.
I don't mean this to be mean, but I would think the kids would be more fun.
No, working with the kids is a lot easier to access the fun. Everybody's got the fun hidden in there, and we try, even in our adult programs, to make it fun and loosen the adults up a little bit. But yeah. The kids, they know how to do it. They know how to get covered in mud. They'll take a handful of mud and, you know, camouflage themselves so they can sneak up on their friends over there.
So do you do that?
So wait a minute. I've got to say that this guy has not been a part of the women's programs because they're really, really fun.
Yeah. All right.
I think all of our adult programs are really fun, but the women's programs are definitely a ton of fun.
And you get covered in mud?
Sometimes. I've had in my mother-daughter programs with the Rites of Passage programs, we've had everyone get covered in mud before.
Yeah.
It's been pretty fun.
And there's two things going on there with that. One is we might be using it to learn how to disappear ourselves so that we can actually see wildlife more readily.
Right.
Another level is when you put a little bit of soil on you and you sit still next to a tree, you feel different. And I think it's clear now these days with all the studies out, including Richard Louv, that nature is good for humans. It calls it vitamin N. And doing those kinds of things, it really digs deeper into who we are. And it calms us down. It relieves stress. It improves health. And, you know, the list goes on and on. So it's out there. It sounds out there. But it is really, it's good for you.
Well, it's interesting you put it that way because I think many of us think of it that way. But as Richard Louv in his book, Last Child in the Woods, indicates, is that this used to be what we would do. Mm-hmm. Kids go out and play. And then all of a sudden we had this reluctance to let them out into the world for a variety of reasons, some very good reasons, some perhaps overly protective, but still reasons, and depriving them of that nature that was so beneficial both to adults and to kids.
Yeah, and you know, I think for the people out there, if you want a couple of ways to do something about that, you know, we do actually have a couple openings in our homeschool program. So if your child is homeschooled, we'd love to talk with you. And the other is, you know, if you're interested in participating in a dialogue about why are parents these days more reluctant to let their kids out into the backyard and play out there, why is that? Because they used to do that a lot more. I used to do that.
Yeah.
But parents these days seem reluctant to do that. And I would be very interested to be part of a conversation about why is that? And to start looking at real fears and you know, what are the myths, but what are the real hazards out there? Get in touch with us, I guess, if you want to be part of that conversation.
To learn more about Flying Deer Nature Center in New Lebanon, New York, you can visit their website. It's flyingdeernaturecenter.org. flyingdeernaturecenter.org. Michelle Applin and Evan Franklin, I thank you so much for joining us today. I wish you all the best in your wonderful efforts, and I thank you so much for sharing with us this morning. It's a great pleasure.
Joe, thanks so much for having us.
Thanks,
Joe. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.